at a certain point, when you've got your properties built up, pass and go is nice, but what you really want is for your opponent to land on your developed properties, because that payoff is going to be far more than what you could get at pass and go.
You're listening to the Pilot Money Podcast, the show dedicated to guiding professional pilots towards a future of financial success and stability. Fly along with your host, Timothy P. Pope, as he provides financial planning insights and answers to your burning questions and dives into real-life stories from fellow pilots who share their successes and cautionary tales. The Pilot Money Podcast takes off now.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the Pilot Money Podcast. My name is Timothy P. Pope, certified financial planner, specializing in the planning needs of the professional pilot. So today, I want to share with you five lessons learned from playing Monopoly with my children. Now, I will tell you, last episode, we had a fairly technical conversation with Billy Withers from Summit ATS, talking about how real estate can benefit your taxes as a professional pilot. And then the episode before that, we talked about what to do if you make too much money to contribute directly to the Roth. We got into the nitty-gritty of backdoor Roth conversions, recharacterizations, excess Roth removals, and then also the contribution limits for Roth IRAs. So after those two technical episodes, I thought that we would lighten it up just a little bit. And so I hope that this episode is a fun one and an informative one for you. So some time ago, my kids learned, you know, about Monopoly. They said, "Hey, Dad, you know, would you like to play with us?" And, you know, as a parent, you're like, "Oh my goodness, this game is such a long game, right? Monopoly is just known for taking forever." But he said, "All right, I'm going to play." So we start playing, and the version that we have has a little debit card, right? So, you know, gone is all the cash paper bills that we all grew up with, but now it's the debit card that you do your banking transactions on at Monopoly. And so as we played, my oldest, my son, he would share, you know, "Hey, Dad, this is how much money I have." And I said, "Wow, you know, that's a lot of money." And, you know, pass, go. And for us, passing go, that means a $2 million payday. "Hey, Dad, and this is how much money I have." And his balance was just growing and growing, right? And he's always just sharing it. And I'm like, okay. So I'm over there, I'm passing go, and I'm buying this property, and I'm buying that, and hey, I'm trading this. "Hey, how much would you take for that?" And I'm building houses, and I'm building hotels, and so on. And then eventually, he starts landing on my properties. His cash balance starts decreasing, and he's not announcing how much cash he has anymore. It's kind of it's a quiet and a private affair. You know, quite personal. He'd want the banking thing just to look privately to see how much money he had and everything else. And then, you know, you could see it was a very slow demise. Then came mortgaging the properties that he had. And then eventually he went bankrupt. And that was a very visceral experience for him. You know, I'm pretty sure that tears were shed and everything else. And so, you know, I shared with him, I said, "Hey, look, in this game, cash is good, but income producing properties are better." Right? And that's the real world takeaway. Strong salaries are great, but if the entirety of your portfolio is cash, then that cash isn't going to be working as hard for you as other assets might. Cash can certainly help us achieve our short-term goals because we have to convert whatever assets we have into cash so then we can pay for them. However, it's not the best instrument to help you with your long-term goals because you're losing purchasing power to inflation, right? And cash is not going to keep up with that. And so with a strong salary, that's great. Typically, you want to turn that salary into other assets that are going to give you a higher compound and annual growth rate than cash, right? Because cash is not going to multiply like you want it to or you need it to be successful. So that's lesson number one. The second lesson that I observed when playing Monopoly with my kids is that timing matters. We played Monopoly for a few games and I made a timing error. One of my kiddos made a timing error and we both reflected on it. So here's what happened. We're playing, we're building up our Monopoly portfolios, right? My real estate there. And I managed to secure the most expensive part of the board, the green ones and the blue ones, right? I think DC is part of the green and Times Square is part of the blue. And so I'm building homes on them. I'm building hotels. And I mean, for me, it's just great. And it turned out that my aggressive building brought my cash balance pretty low. I mean, I thought that I was a goner. And so there was an opportunity to sell another property to my kiddo that would complete a monopoly for him. And so we made that transaction. Of course, I sold it at an absurd premium. And he bought it. And the timing issue for him was that it brought his cash balances down right before he had to navigate the most expensive part of the board. So he bought that, and then the dice just threw him a 1-2 punch. Bang, bang. He landed on a developed property, and it just changed his fortunes, right? It wasn't good. And so for me, my timing issue was I had other monopolies on less expensive parts of the board. And what I considered for myself, because I said, man, Tim, you really let your cash balances get low. That was really uncomfortable. What I considered for myself is that I could have built up the least expensive monopolies first, people to land on those, and then reinvested that cash flow into the more expensive parts of the board, all the while maintaining positive cash flow and then that reinvestment. For his timing issue, is he made an extremely large purchase right before he had to navigate a well-developed part of the board that was also the most expensive part of the board. And that sunk his fortune, right? And so the real-world application here is that there's an unlimited number of things for you to spend your money on, right? There's an unlimited number of assets that you could buy. And what I always like to ask people is, are you ready for the next step? So this could be purchasing a home that's really going to stretch you and maybe you're not ready for. This could be purchasing the next shiny toy, which you guys know I'm a fan of, right? As a professional pilot, you make enough to responsibly plan for the future, but also enjoy the fruits of your labor. So the key is just, hey, are we ready? Is it going to stretch me or am I solidly ready for it? So timing matters, right? Will that next step, will it stretch you too thin or will you be able to absorb it comfortably? The third lesson that I observed with playing Monopoly here is understanding the assets that you have and how they work together. So after that first game where I played with the kiddos, they started to understand, hey, we just can't pass go. We have to buy things. And so we have to invest. And so what would happen is they would start to just buy all this property, but they were not putting the properties together and buying the right monopolies so that they could build. They just have, you know, one color of this and one color of that, or two of this and they're missing one, and you know, a couple of train stations and what have you. And their assets were all over the place and their assets were not working together to accomplish their goal of winning. And I see this all the time. As you go through your career, maybe you did some instruction, maybe you worked at the regionals and then you made it to the airline, the major airline, or you're in business aviation, you kind of jumped around from operator to operator before landing at that one that you got to stay for a while. And so what you have is you have 401ks, you've got Roth, you've got brokerage accounts, if you were in the military, maybe you got TSP, and your assets are scattered. And I hear a lot of folks say, look, I feel like I've got money everywhere. It's kind of overwhelming. I'm not really sure, you know, what's happening. And that's part of planning, is helping you put everything in one spot in terms of in a financial plan so you can understand how those assets are performing and how they're helping you to accomplish your goals. And so, you know, with Monopoly, it's like, hey, you can't build unless you have all the right pieces, right? And so in the real world, it certainly pays to pay attention to where your assets are, what they're doing, and are there some strategies you should be doing in a Roth that you might not want to do in a traditional, or you might not want to do in a brokerage account, or vice versa. Let's talk about emotions for a moment, because humans are emotional creatures. That's what makes us human, right? And this is something else that I saw in Monopoly and that I see in real life as a planner. We play with a bidding process in Monopoly. And so if you land on a property and you don't want to buy it, you can put it out to bid for the other players. Again, once the kiddos learn that, hey, we've got to buy things, they like to participate in these bids. Sometimes I'd start a bid. I'm not necessarily interested in the property at all. Maybe I own one of the colors and I have no interest of letting it go, at least not in the short term. And I don't really care about the other positions, right? I want to save my cash and do something else. So I'll start a bid out. And my goodness, sometimes their emotions would get in, or the fact that, hey, I'm in this bid, I don't want to lose it, I'm going to win it at all costs. Or perhaps they don't understand the value of what they're bidding on. And so that, you know, those numbers just go higher and higher and higher until somebody wins. And I have watched them dump lots of cash into a property that is certainly not worth it. I've watched them dump lots of cash into, you know, just to win the bid while losing sight of the overall goal, which is to win the game. And that's a mistake. But the emotions got in there. And what we see in real life is that the news sells sensationalism, right? And when it comes to investing, a lot of times it's best to ignore the headline news, right? They want to discuss the latest investment fad or trend. They want to sell you the latest recession and why you should be selling your stocks. Or maybe somebody, you know, writes an article of doom and gloom, and at the end they tell you how you can buy gold bars, right? And what I find is that when you have an investment strategy, knowing why your portfolio is made up the way it is, knowing how all your assets are working together to accomplish your goals, using metrics to evaluate their success, having a process of when to add something new to your portfolio, or having a process when to get rid of something that it's time to go, that is much better than allowing your emotions to run the investment portfolio. Because when emotions are ruling, people tend to do the opposite of what they should be doing, which is to buy low and sell high, right? Or if you're dollar cost averaging, to just continue to buy in as opposed to, well, you know, you made some mistakes, so now we want to wait until the market corrects and then jump in. Again, that's a part of market timing. It's not a winning strategy there. Another lesson that I observed with watching or playing Monopoly with my kids is that winning Monopoly is a process. In the beginning of the game, your focus is on buying what you can and passing go so you can get paid and replenish the coffers. You buy the properties as you land on them, right? And then you're going to figure out later how to trade them and sell them and buy from your opponents to get the monopolies that you need. In the beginning, it's really important to be able to pass go. And in fact, if I land on the go to jail card or spot Monopoly in the beginning of the game, I will pay to get out of jail, right? But at a certain point, when you've got your properties built up, passing go is nice, but what you really want is for your opponent to land on your developed properties, because that payoff is going to be far more than what you could get at passing go. And later in the game, if I have developed monopolies and things and I land on the go to jail card, I might just sit there for three turns because no problem for me. And there's nothing else to buy and I'm still collecting income, right? And I'm not landing on your properties. And so financial planning and investing is the same way. It's a process, right? In the beginning, you're relying on a paycheck so you can invest in the market or in real estate or whatever you're investing in. But over time, your diligent investing habits and your smart planning moves, they're able to give you a payoff that's far more than what you could expect with an entire year's worth of, right? So in the beginning, when my kids would ask me to play, I'd think about, oh my goodness, this is going to be a long game. But as I watched them learning, there's so many lessons in the game. And I just went over just five that I think that we can all relate to that have direct correlation to financial planning. But there's so many lessons that I enjoy playing with them. And here's the other thing. They talk for days about, oh, that was a good move, or moves they wouldn't make again, and what they're going to do different next time. They're learning about being financially savvy, about how to evaluate their investments, you know, what to buy, what to sell, and so on. Now, as a parent, an experienced Monopoly player, when watching, I can watch the trajectory of their game. I can watch their strategy and I can say to myself, well, if they don't change their strategy, they're not going to win. It could be in 20 turns. It could be in 40 turns. Not sure. But I know that they're going to go bankrupt if they don't update their strategy. And the same is with financial planning, right? We get to take a peek in the financial future and say, if you continue on your current course, you may fall short, you likely will fall short of reaching the goals that you've set out. However, if we just make these few tweaks and either how much you're saving, where you're saving, what you're spending, so on, then we can increase your probability of success. And so, you know, being able to take that peek into the financial future, I think is important. It's just as important of organizing and optimizing your portfolio, your strategy, and also, you know, being tax aware. I think it's really funny sometimes now that when my kids want to play among themselves, they say, Dad, can you be our advisor? Or with a younger sibling, can you be that person's advisor? because we want to play Monopoly. And they want to hire me because they want to win. I just think that's, I think it's great. I do it for free.
Right.
I love that. We haven't worked out a compensation agreement, but you know, I'm happy to be their advisor. And the thing is, our clients do the same. They hire us because they want help reaching their financial goals. So, 5 lessons observed while playing Monopoly with my kids. I hope this was a fun one. Think about these things. Think about how they apply to your financial planning life. And we'd love to hear about it. Thank you for joining this episode of the Pilot Money Podcast. If you found this information helpful, spread the word and share it with a pilot buddy. Or if you have questions and there's something that you would like to hear discussed on the show, send us an email at pilotmoneypodcast@ceterainvestors.com. That's CETERA investors.com. For those of you who are ready to learn how we help professional pilots with their financial planning needs, schedule an appointment. The link is in the show notes. Until next time, keep the shiny side up, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Timothy Pope is a certified financial planner offering securities and insurance products offered through Cetera Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services are offered through Cetera Investment Advisors, LLC. Tim's branch office is located at 5277 Center Drive, Suite 330, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28217. Branch phone number 704-717-8900. The views depicted in this material are for information purposes only and are not necessarily those of Cetera Investment Advisors. This podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information on the subjects covered. It is not, however, intended to provide specific legal, tax, or other professional advice. For specific professional assistance, the services of an appropriate professional should be sought.